to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Tonight we're going to be talking about love. Before we do that, I will review part 3 of dating, just to refresh your memory, to go over what we saw last week. And I'm supposed to tell you a joke tonight. It's not mine. It came from a lady in the front row. We won't give no name.
Which side of the front row?
I don't know. I hope I did not forget. Okay. She said that a lady took her husband to a psychiatrist. And they went to the office and she said, "Doctor, I got a big problem with my husband. He thinks he is a dog." The doctor said, "No kidding, he thinks he's a dog." She said, "Yeah, he thinks he's a dog." She said, "Has it been going for a long time?" She said, "Yeah, for a long time." So he said, "Okay, then, why don't you go on the couch?" And she said, "No, doctor, he's not allowed on furniture." How do you know about her?
Because she was famous over the word
book. I know women.
I was just reading her lips. Well, I'll tell you another one if you insist. There was this young new preacher who stood in a pulpit for the first time, and was he nervous? And he was teaching on Revelation. He was talking about Jesus, and he got to the point, "Behold, I come quickly." And his mind went blank. He could not remember a thing. Then he remembered that when he was studying, they taught him that when you get a blank like this, if your mind go blank, just go over what you just said and repeat it, and it will come back. So he said again, "Behold, I come quickly." And it was not coming. "Behold, I come quickly." And he tripped and he fell off the pulpit, knocked the plant, and he ended up in the lap of that old lady in the front. Oh my God, he apologized and, "I'm sorry, ma'am." She said, "Don't worry about it. It's my fault. It's my fault. I should have got out of the way. You told me 3 times you were coming."
Not bad.
All right, now let's review what we saw last week. Last week we saw in Romans 12:1 that we are to present our body to who? To God. Nobody else but God. It is not a one-shot deal. It's on a daily basis. We present our body, a living sacrifice to God. Then we saw that we should not be conformed to the world's way of dating, but we should be dating God's way. Not trying to impress, not trying to get from the other, but forgetting the old way to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Forget the way you've been dating before in the past. Most of you have been dating before, but now it's a brand new ball game. You are Christians, you are the children of God. He has a different plan, a different approach, a different way of dating. So also let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, Philippians 2:5. We saw that impurity is condemned by God. We went through 1 Corinthians 6:13 to 20, and also 1 Corinthians 7:1, that men should not touch a woman. We also saw the first marriage, Genesis 2:18 to 25, that it was not good for man to be alone. We saw that God created everything, and he said that it was good, except when Adam was alone in Eden. And he said, all right, it is not good for a man to be alone. So he made a woman. So the woman was brought to the man to relieve his loneliness, his solitude, by her companionship. She was brought to man to be his helpmeet. And we said not his drag meat, his helpmeet, to help him in the struggles of life. And also she was brought to man to receive his love, his protection, his care. Then we saw the marriage is a public thing. It's just like baptism. It's an outward commitment. It's just a sign to show that you have made a commitment to God and to that person. So you have a wedding just to publicly proclaim that commitment. We saw that cleaved, the man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. The word cleave meant glued together, not stuck, but glued. So we saw what would be the dating God's way, the praying together, draw near to God and God will draw near to you, the get into the word together and serve together, and screen all entertainment. Where you're going, what you are doing, it is very important. And then we saw that it is impossible to do those things with a non-believer. You cannot go out with a non-believer and say, well, let's pray tonight. Let's have a little Bible study. Let's screen. Let's serve together. Let's go serve at the church. It will not work. So that's why God said, be ye not unequally yoked with a non-believer. You will not be able to date God's way with a non-believer. You will not be able to serve God with a non-believer. So that's why it is no in dating a non-believer. And then we saw that if you would break off, if it was not the one for you to be married, then you had a good time, good, clean fellowship. You served the Lord. You both grew spiritually. And nobody got hurt. We also saw that beauty is an inward thing and not outward. It is not what you wear. It is not what you have, but it is the inside. Then we saw the girls, what kind of guy they should be looking for. And the guys, what kind of girls they should be looking for, which is guys are looking for a godly woman. And the girls are looking for a godly man, a spiritual leader. All right, tonight we're going to take a look at love. The word love is used so freely in English, it is difficult to understand what it really means. You use it for everything. I love my wife. I love my car. I love tacos, I love spaghetti, I love skiing, I love tennis. You use the same word for the same thing. But even though you may want to mean something different than love, we don't have another word in English to express. I love my dog, I love my cat. I love my wife, and you know you don't love the dog like the wife, or the wife like the cat, or the ski like. So we are stuck with one word. So what we're going to do, we're going to borrow words from another language. We're going to take a look at Greek tonight. They have four different words for love. The first one is storge. The second one is phileo, the third one is eros, and the last one is agape. So we're going to take a look tonight at those four different types of love. You are going to need all of them when you are married. You are going to need only three of them as you are dating. So we will take a look tonight at one by one what they mean. And so you can learn and know about love. Love is a touchy situation. The word has been abused by Hollywood. Words are cheap. People just throw that word now left and right. So we're going to take a look. It is a subject that men do not really like to discuss, to talk about love. Very seldom in your dating relationship are you going to have a study on love or talking about love. So tonight we're going to take a look at all of them. I'm going to start with number one, storge, which is affection. The first one is storge and it means affection. It is the first one because it is the first one we all experience. That's the first kind of love we are exposed to. It is the love of parents to offsprings or offsprings to parent. It is a parent, children, family type of love. Brother and sister in the home. The first one that you are exposed to. Storge. Storge includes both. It's a need love and it's a give love. You need it, like the child need the love of the parent, and the parent need that love to give. So it's a give and need type of love. It is the least discriminating of loves. It ignores all barriers. Age, sex, class, education. Anyone can become an object of affection. Storge love ignores all barrier, no discrimination. So anyone can become an object of affection. Ugly, stupid, deformed, like the elephant man, deformed man. And one doctor, one man who saw the guy had that storge love for him. Affection. So that storge has no discrimination. You're not only loved by your parents, but also brothers and sisters. It's an affection that can love the unattractive. There is no requirement at all. You're there, you're in the house, so we see also storge love between man and animal. You get an affection for your pet, parrot, horse, rabbit, cat. So that is storge love. There is nothing special about it. It is just an affection. The child will love an old gardener who has hardly ever taken any notice of him and will run from the visitor that is trying to make any attempt with love. So it is an discriminating, the least discriminating of all love. So storge is a humble love. You love them in their best and you love them in their worst. When they're all dressed up or when they have those old slippers and their hair sticking up in the morning. So there is no discrimination. So the kiss of affection differs from the kiss of eros. Eros is a complete different type of love that we will see later. But affection is like brothers and sisters. They will kiss on the cheek or they will hug, but it's a complete different thing. It is not like those people at the fair. All right? So it is very unnatural for a boy not to love his own father or own mother because that storge is a natural love. Now, are all unhappy homes unhappy because the affection, because that storge love is absent? No. It can be present and be causing the unhappiness. Storge love cannot stand on its own. It needs to be fed. you need to add to it. Affection produces happiness only if something more is added. You need to give and take. You need justice. You have to be fair. You need decency, goodness, patience, all kind of other qualification. But the storge love cannot stand on its own. Storge love is given to us and not on our merits. So storge takes liberties. Like, shut up, I want to read. They say that, kid. Oh, you pig, you ate the whole thing. And they don't get hurt. Storge love does not get hurt because it is just an affection. If we try to live by affection or by storge love alone, that love will go bad on us. So it is a love. It is the first one that we are. That we came in contact with, first one we have experienced. It is an important one. It is affection. And just remember, if you cannot remember anything, just remember storge, affection, and it is not complete alone. You need additional love. Storge cannot make it on its own. The second one is filio. Filio is friendship. A good Bible example of that kind of love is David and Jonathan. It is not a homosexual love like some people have said that David and Jonathan were homosexual. Therefore, filio is a homosexual love. It is not true. It is a mutual love. I love you if you love me. There's a big if there. It's an emotional love. This love is selective. To say these are my friends implies that those are not. So it is a selective love. It's a mutual love. There's a big difference between eros love, the next one that we're going to see, and filial love. Eros is lovers. Filio is friends. Eros love always talk to one another about their love. Filio, they hardly ever talk about their friendship. And yet it's there. It exists. It is strong. It is close. And yet they don't need to talk about it. Eros love normally are face to face. Filial love are side by side. Eros love is love between two only. Love between more than two is filial love. If more than two, it is best. The other love, the eros love, if it's more than two, it's perversion. So eros love is two. Between two person only. Filial love is love between more than two. Eros love always seek for privacy. Filial love, the first two would be glad to find a third one and a fourth one. No privacy. It is a friendship. Filial is the least jealous of all four love. I should say the first three loves. Two friends delight to be joined by a third one. The three delight to be joined by a fourth one, and so on. There is no possession like eros. Eros is a possessive love, jealous love. Filio is the least biological of all four loves. Both the individual and the community can survive without that filial love. But without eros, none of us would have been begotten. Without storge love, none of us would have been reared or raised, that family love. And without agape, we are nothing. The Bible says, we cannot be a Christian. They will know we are Christian by our agape love. So, the friendship is the one that you can live without. It's important to have. If you can, fine. But it is not something that is very important. Friendship arises out of companionship. When two or more discover that they have in common the same interest, the same taste, the same problems, the same thing. It may be dominoes, maybe a sport. It may be they like the same animal. They have a stamp collection. Bless you. It may be that they have, like you, you are all single parents. You should be friends with one another. You share something. You have something in common. A kid may not have any friends until he goes to school. Then he comes back. He got a friend or two. He made friends in the school. Maybe in prison. You go to prison. You have the same thing. You share. You're in the same boat. You have the same problems. So there comes a friendship. David and Jonathan had the same problem. They were fighting Jonathan's father. So when you have the same position, you're in the same boat, you like the same thing, you have same taste, then a friendship develops, a filial love. Those who have nothing can share nothing. Those who are going nowhere can have no traveling companion. So only if you have something in common with someone will you have that filial love, that friendship. So friendship does not care about the race, the income, the previous history, the family, the background, the profession. It is also a non-discriminating love on that. Proverbs says there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You will have your own flesh and blood, brother or sister, that will not stick closer than this kind of brother, this kind of love, filial love, that friendship. It is very common if the friends are of opposite sex, that filial love may turn into eros love. Now, the number three is eros love. It is a sexual love, a totally emotional love, a physical love. Eros says, I want for me. It is a selfish love. It's a self-fulfilling love. The word eros is used in many large cities. You see it everywhere. Places where they sell dirty books. I should not call them dirty books. I should call them pornographic books. X-rated movies. They have erotic. Eros. You don't need to go near a place like that. Dating or not dating. You don't need that kind of trash in your mind. Philippians 4:8 said, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is of a good report. Think of these things. So if you get those trash into your mind, we have a memory bank in our head, just like a computer. Believe it or not, everything you've said, everything you've seen, everything you heard, are in the memory bank. How you file them is how you get them back. They are all there. Nothing that was said to you, or you've seen, or you said, everything is in the memory bank. Now, at times you will see that it will come back. Sometimes a smell of perfume would bring back in the memory bank something you did 10 years ago. A smell of chili would bring you back in 1956 when you were eating chili with a person and you see it clear. It's amazing the way our mind works, the memory bank. Now, it's there and it may come back at a dangerous time. Satan hates you. And if you go to those places, if you get those pornographic pictures or movies or books, Satan will use it against you. When you least expect it, he will be right there with it. 1 Corinthians 10:33 said, "Do all things to the glory of God." Now ask yourself the question, is this bringing glory to God today? I'm watching those naked women. I'm not hurting nobody. Nobody sees me. I'm not stumbling no one. But it's in your memory bank. You will be with a woman and those pictures will flash back and trouble you. So get rid of them. You don't need to go to those places. And keep your mind clean, clear of those things, that Satan may not get this against you, because you know he is against you. Sex is like fire. If you use it properly, it can be a source of comfort. But out of place, it can be dangerous, devastating. It can make a lot of damage. Just like beautiful, rich, dark soil in your garden. It is great. It looks good. That's where it belongs. If you take that soil and bring it on your white shag carpet in your living room, it is not the right place. Then the rich soil is out of place. Same thing with sex. It is beautiful within marriage. Out of place, it's dangerous. And it will cause problem outside of marriage. So do not play with temptation. Remember Samson. He did play with temptation. He played with women here and there throughout his life. But we saw how he ended up. He was lusting with his eyes, looking at women, and that's the first thing he lost, his eyes. So do not play with temptation. Many ask, how far can I go? How far can we go? Well, if you're asking this question, you are on dangerous ground already. You went too far. How far can we go may mean that we are going already. We just want to know how far we can go. And a lot of Christians. I was teaching the teens, 16, 17, 18. That question came often. How far can we go? It's like asking, how much can I sin and still be saved? Or how much can I disobey God and still be called his son, his daughter? It's the same thing. How far can we go? The question should be, since I am a Christian, since we are a Christian, what can I do? What can we do to please God and bring honor to his name? Not how far can we go. You're on dangerous ground. Learn to reject impure thoughts. Satan puts many in your mind, he will. But you have to learn to reject those. Do not allow your mind to fantasize. That can really destroy you. It can keep you going and going and be so hung up on fantasies. Do not even watch Fantasy Island. It's crazy. Do not fantasize. Satan would love to have you fantasize. It may be anything. Fantasies are no good. You may fantasize seeing yourself like Billy Graham with 500,000 people and you're preaching there. When you are fantasizing about these things, you're not doing nothing for God. It may be sexual things, it may be anything. If you are fantasizing, read Matthew 5:28. So do not allow your mind to fantasize. Do not get involved in petting. That is eros love. That sexual love, that desire, that emotional, that physical love that said, I want for me. It's a selfish. I want to. And they come with all kind of, if you would love me, you would. Do not go for it. If you don't, if you allow a little starting, you won't be able to control your passion. It's the same thing as if I light a stick of dynamite and it starts burning. It's hard to stop it. Once it's going, it's going to blow in your face. So don't light it. Don't put the match to it. So do not get involved in petting. If you are walking in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. If you are living on the borderline and wondering how far can I go, how far can we go, you are living on thin ice and it is going to collapse one day and you are going to sink. So leave as much distance as possible between you and that area of temptation. No matter what it is, if you cannot handle being alone with a woman in her apartment, you should not be there anyway. But if you can, you know you cannot control yourself or you cannot, you're having a problem with this, share with her. Tell her to pray for me. Do not allow me. Do not allow us. Be frank. Be open. But keep as much distance as you can between you and that weakness that you have. If you have a problem with drinking, with booze, the last place you want to go is where they give or sell booze. Same thing with sex. If you're having a problem with this, it's always on your mind. The last thing you need is a dirty magazine or X-rated movie to keep that thing going in you. Keep Satan feeding you that trash. And then you're going to wonder, how come, Lord, I fell? Yeah, but why did you run out of gas when you did not... You knew you were with a girl and it was dark and it was a small road. Then don't say, Lord, why did you allow me to do this? Don't let Satan trick you, because he will trick you. So leave as much room as you can between that weakness, between that area of temptation as possible. And now we're going to take a look at agape love. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Agape love is the divine love. It is a supernatural love. The King James Bible here calls it charity. Why do they call love here charity? Because God so loved the world, He gave. Love is give. To love is to give. That's why they call it charity in the old King James. You give of yourself, you give of your time, you give of your money, you give everything. The agape love is the one that you must work on. The one that we're going to go in detail is the most important of all four. The first one was when you were a kid. Storge love. In the home you were raised. This is a different love. Then you had the friendship as you went to school, and you had little friends in your classroom, and then as you grow up, you had friendship. And then the eros is that physical, sexual love. And finally, the most important is the agape love. It is a commitment love. How can you be married without it? It is a commitment love. Marriage is a commitment to God, a commitment to that person. If there is no agape love, there cannot be a marriage. You need it. It is very important. A commitment love. It does not change as the feelings change. It is not controlled by the feelings like eros is. It is not an emotional love. It enables us to love what is not naturally lovable. What you cannot really love. Lepers, criminals, enemies, somebody who really did something to you, to your children. You have to love them anyway. And that is not easy. That is a divine love. It's a love of God. 1 Corinthians 13 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, speak in tongues, and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, which is irritating. If you do not have love, you become irritable, irritating. As though I have the gift of prophecy, a lot of people are looking for that, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. Without that love, you are nothing. And though I bestow or give all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not love, it profits me nothing. Absolutely nothing. Love suffers long. Which means that this kind of love is patient. It is not eager to retaliate. So that's why I said earlier in another study on dating, if your love is not patient, if you have to get married, if you have to get engaged just in case he changes his mind 2 weeks from now, it is not the agape love. Love is patient. Let the Lord do the work. Then it says, love is kind. Love envies not. Love's vaunt not itself. It is not puffed up. There is no pride. You are not puffed up in that kind of love. Not puffed up, we see that the Corinthians 4:6. 1 Corinthians 4:6, Paul said to those Corinthians, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. The Corinthians were just like us. They had problem. That's why later in his letter, Paul made sure he mentioned that love is not puffed up. He said it again in the same chapter, verse 18. Now some of you are puffed up, as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will. And you will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. And also in 5:2, and you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. One man was reported that in having fornication in the church, and they did not do anything about it. They were too puffed up. So rather than do anything, they allow it. Rather than take this guy away from the group, pride was in the way and they could not do it. And also in 1 Corinthians 8:1. Now as touching these things offered unto idol, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. If you know something, you're going to have a problem with pride. The more you know, that knowledge is going to lift you up. You have to be humble, and only agape love will edify, will bring you down to where you're supposed to be. It is very important in your dating relationship that you master that love, that agape love. Love does not behave itself unseemly. It seeks not her own. It is not provoked. You don't need the word easily provoked there. It is not provoked. Think no evil. It thinks no evil. It seeks to bring blessing or pleasure to the one being loved. It is an unselfish love. It does not behave itself unseemly. It seeks not her own. You are not seeking what is good for you, what you can get out of that person, what you can get away with. You are trying to bring blessing, to bring pleasure to the other one. That is not easy. Unselfishness. He wrote to those Corinthians 10:33, just before he wrote that. He said, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Very important that you seek not your own profit, but the profit of the other one. Philippians 2:4. Phil 2:4. He said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Don't be selfish. What I can get, what I will get out of that relationship, out of that marriage, how much money she got in the savings account, what kind of job she has. Those things are carnal. Carnal to the max. You seek first the kingdom of God. You seek that agape love. You love. You give. You try to get blessings and pleasure to the other person. Not what you can get. It is a true supernatural love. Also that same Phil 2:21. He said, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. This world nowadays, they all seek their own. Me first. Survival of the fittest. I'm gonna try to get for me. That's the way we were brought up, most of us. Trying to get for us. Get, get, get. Agape love is give, give, give. You have to get used to it. It is not get. You don't try to get nothing but give, give, and give. And that's what God is doing to us, is give, give, give. He never get. He only give. And God is love, and we should try to get that agape love. It is not natural. It is not something that you can just get like this. You have to work at it. Constantly asking God to help me with this. It says that it does not provoke and think no evil. It does not become bitter or resentful. It's not easy. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. It put up with all things, believes all things, hope all things, endures all things, endures with silence. Not endures and man, I have to take it again and I will, alright, that's okay, but next time. No, it's enduring with silence, not murmuring, not complaining, not nagging. But you endure with silence. Believes the best. Trust the other one. Give a feeling of self-worth and acceptance to the other one. You trust them. You make sure that they know that you are trusting them. It is very important. We do not own no one. If you have someone chained to the bedpost, you will never get trust from that person. I don't trust a dog that's on a chain. I will trust a dog that is loose before I trust one that's on a big chain. So we do not own no one. We never will. You cannot have anyone answer to you. We all answer to God. If that person has a problem, you try to restore that person if you are spiritual. But don't try to make them answer to you. Because they belong to God. They may be your wife, they may be your husband. But they are still God's children. So, remember that. That relationship has to exist before that marriage relationship. Brothers and sisters in the Lord. The two souls will go back to their God. And you will probably see that same soul forever and ever and ever up there. So right here, they do not answer to you. You do not answer to them, but to God. So give them trust. Believe the best. Give the benefit of the doubt. And endures any trial with a confident and joyful heart. Not enduring with moaning and groaning, but with a joyful heart. Endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But love will never fail. Prevails in all situations. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away, will disappear. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, a metal mirror, darkly. But then we will be face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abides faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. So now to recap. Agape love in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, verses 1 to 3 shows that love is all important and indispensable. That agape love is indispensable. You cannot date without it. You cannot get married without it. It is very important. Verses 4 through 7 says that love is all enduring and invincible. And verses 8 through 13 says that love is all outlasting and immortal. That love will never die. Now, if you want to know if you really have that agape love in you, just put your name from verses 4 through 8. Wherever you see the word charity that we replace with love, put your name there. Yulin suffers long and is kind. Yulin envies not. Yulin vaunt not itself. He is not puffed up. You know how it sounds? So put your name there and see if you really have that agape love. It is very important to have this supernatural love. You have to work at it. You will not be able to do all these things just like this, to suffer long. The word suffer, by the way, is allow. To allow for a long period of time. Be patient. Be kind. Do not envy the other. Be not puffed up. Seek not yourself. Rejoice. You put up with all things, not a few. All things. You believe all things. She tells you a lie, she will have to answer to God. He is lying to you, he will get cut. God said everything will be open. So why do you want to play God and say, I'm going to bring judgment on her, on him, you have to do this, now you cannot do that. You're playing God. Agape love is not like this. Agape love is what we just said. Hope all things. Endures all things. Man. Jesus Christ asked us to love one another this way. So you will need all the four loves that we covered tonight in marriage. When you are married, all of those four loves, the friendship, the affection, the eros, erotic, and that divine love, that supernatural love, you will need all of them. Now, the only reason for dating is preparing for marriage. If you are dating just because you don't want to be alone, you don't want to, you do not need to date. Dating is for this purpose only, is preparing for marriage. Seek the Lord together. Are we really in God's will? Is it the person that God has for me? You do not date for just because, well, he's a good-looking guy. I've never had one like this before. And now I'll just grab it before somebody else does. You know? It doesn't work like this. You date for preparation. You work on this agape love with that person. You seek the Lord together. Serving God. So, work on these love. Forget the eros love. There's nothing there for you to learn. It is a natural love. It will come when you are married. Just remember what we covered about it tonight in not getting your mind with trash and with magazines. So, agape love is the most important love. You will need this one. You can be married. The only one that you would, that is the least important, is the friendship. Even though your mate should be your best friend after Jesus Christ. But this one is the most important. And that's the one that you should be working on right now. Reviewing 1 Corinthians 13 very often. Put your name everywhere you see charity and see if you have made, if you are making improvement. If you are suffering long. If you are kind. If you envy less. You will see as you read and put your name there the progress that you are making with agape love. Because it is the most important of all. Alright, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we had tonight, learning about your word and about love. That love, Father, you are love. And Lord, we ask that you help us with agape love, that supernatural love, that divine love. We all need to work, Father. We all need to improve, to be better. We ask, Father, that you be with each and every one of us this week, helping us getting closer to that agape love. Pour your Spirit upon us. We cannot have that agape love on our own flesh, but we need your Spirit. It is a spiritual love. So Father, just be with us this week. Help us with this love. They will know we are Christians by our love. So we thank you for this time, Lord. We ask that you give us a good week. Protect us this week. Maybe you're coming this week to get us out of here. So just be with us, Father, and bless each and every one of us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message.